Evelyn Valin is a pediatric nurse who went full-time after 2 years of working part-time with photography. It actually all started at her own wedding when her husband gave her a Canon camera and a lens. 3 months after the wedding, she launched her website and she had her first wedding as the head photographer when she was 35 weeks pregnant and the second one 6 weeks after her baby was born. She's since niched down to elopements and personal weddings, and she won a silver medal in the Swedish Championships of Photography in Weddings, and she's also earned a journeyman certificate and more. You need to know that she's done all this despite being scared and having imposter syndrome. You're listening to Sustainable Photography, where you get support and education to build your profitable business in a way that supports your way of living. I'm Ingvild Kolnes, and after 11 years as a photographer, I want to share what I've learned with you. So if you're looking for confidence, inspiration, and to-the-point tips, keep listening. For full transparency, I also want you to know that I'm a mentor with paid offers, and I might mention some of those in this episode. Hi, Evelyn, and welcome to the podcast.
Hi there, Ingvild. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. So we actually know each other. We've known each other for a couple of years since you joined my SEO course, which I think was in the summer of 2020. And we've followed each other on Instagram, and I feel like we know each other now. And I'm so excited that you wanted to be on the podcast. So can you tell me about your photography journey, how and why you decided to change up your career and become a photographer?
Okay, do you want the short answer or do you want the long version? There's two, actually.
There's two, okay.
Yes.
Then I want to know what made you actually make that shift. Like, why? Because you were happy in your job, I assume, at some point, and then something changed.
Yeah, true. Actually, it started on my own wedding because we were doing a small, intimate wedding in New York City. So I started planning that wedding together with my husband, but I did a lot because I love to go, you know, and recog and try to find stuff and the best of this and that. So we started and it was so much fun. I loved the planning of it. And when it came to photography, I met up with this guy that was going to do the photos of us. And we got along so well, and he had so many ideas and I had as well. And it was really fun and really, you know, we managed to do that. And it was actually, it started with a friendship that came by a friend of mine who was making me the dress, my dress. And she actually does photography as well and filming. And when she heard about the wedding in New York, she was like, oh, I have to follow you. You need some photos for me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, we already booked the photographer. I can't afford both of you. And she was like, okay. But then she heard about me doing a flamenco dance for my husband as a vow exchange. And she was like, you need it on film. You need it on a video. You can't do this without having a video of it. And still, I told her, you know what? Getting married in New York on a Saturday is really, really expensive. So that's really hard for me. There's no money left, to be honest. And she was like, you know what? I want this for my portfolio and I'm coming with you. So when my husband came to her and fetched me up from this meeting, he was like, oh, you're sitting with wine. And she was like, I'm coming with you to New York. So it was just so interesting. And she came along and we both had this idea about doing photography portraits on the morning after the wedding in sunrise on Brooklyn Bridge. But it was in July, so it was like 4:30 a.m. or something like that. And we did, actually. I slept in my dress and I had my makeup on.
No way.
I did. And we took a cab in the morning down to Brooklyn Bridge. And we just did that session for 2 hours. And it was amazing. And after that, my husband gave me a present. I don't know how normal that is in Norway or elsewhere in the world. But in Sweden, we do that. We give each other gifts on the morning after the wedding. And he gave me a camera, a Canon camera with the lenses. And he told me like this, okay, Evelyn, you're always shooting. You're always taking photos, but you haven't had the equipment to do so. So here you go, sort of. And the funny thing was that the lady who came along, who made my dress and was filming, she also did workshops. And 1 month later, she was going to do a destination wedding workshop for wedding photographers. So I asked her, so is this only for professionals or is it possible for me as an amateur to come along to take a spot? And she was like, of course, you're coming. You're coming with us. So I went 1 month after the wedding. I went to this workshop in Provence with her and 14 other photographers, full-time wedding photographers. And that was a crash course in everything for me. So I came home 4 days later and I started working on my website. And 3 months later, I launched my website. I was second shooting and I was assisting wedding photographers all that autumn and winter 2017, yeah, to 18. And then I started getting my own jobs.
So you went all in so quickly then. I mean, from just getting your camera to attending a workshop and then just setting everything up.
Yep.
Wow.
I did. So I was working as a pediatric nurse and had been for 10 years. So I did that full time and had weddings on Saturday and editing on Sunday. And I also got pregnant. So I felt like I had three jobs. But I did that 2018, 19, and 1st of May 2020, I went full time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yep. That's how it was.
Yeah. So in a matter of just a couple of years, you went from getting your first professional camera to being full time.
I did. Yes. And some people say, you know, 2020, that was a hard year and Corona had just started. And I say, yes, of course it was. I had maybe 6 or 7 weddings that entire year. Of course, I didn't bring much to the table, so to speak. But I had managed to redo my website and rebrand myself. I had someone helping me with my fonts and my colors and my website. And I really got into all the other aspects of photography, like SEO and marketing and Instagram and all that. So I had the time to also think about what I really wanted to do and what maybe not so much.
Yeah. So what is it you want to do? What is the thing you most want to photograph?
Well, it has to do with elopements and, of course, and adventure elopements. I find it so fascinating and so rewarding to be able to bring to the couples the ability to choose what kind of wedding they want, to not be completely bound by traditions or what other people say that they're supposed to do. Instead, actually talking to the couple and try to help them, guide them, so to speak, into what's important to you. Do you have the place that you find very personal to you and your story? Or do you have a place that you really want to explore, that you've always wanted to explore, etc., 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 to find the perfect location and the perfect things to do on the wedding day? That's really rewarding for me because it has to do with the fact that we went to New York and had our intimate wedding there. Because my husband, he's a real entertainer and he is really, really aware of how other people are feeling in the room when he's there. And we started figuring out how many people there were supposed to be in our so-called wedding, the traditional one. And we realized that it could have been up to 200 or more. And he panicked, really. He was like, I'm not going to be able to even talk to 200 people on my wedding day. And they have come to our wedding, and I'm not even going to be able to say thank you to each and every one of them. That's impossible. He realized that he wouldn't be able to have fun or be himself and enjoy the wedding day if he wouldn't be able to catch up on the people there. And so he said, you know what? We love New York. Why don't we go to New York instead? Because most people will understand that it's impossible to invite 200 people to New York. So that's why we did that. And to me, that's really something I go back to a lot in my business. Not everyone likes the idea of a big wedding and being in the center of attention or not being able to talk to everyone.
I can relate to that a lot.
yeah, that's what I want to do more of. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's important to know what you want to do. I think it helps you if you are able to relate some of that to yourself and to your own story and to the way that you see the world, because I think it allows you to connect even deeper to your clients if you're able to do that. So I think that's a great starting point.
Yeah, I think so too. It has helped. I have told the story a little bit shorter, but still the story to clients, and yeah, it's helped them a lot.
What are you finding to be your biggest challenges, the way that things are now in your business and when it comes to elopements?
The hardest part is to find the people. Like I said, in Sweden, people are very into tradition and the way it's supposed to be, and how, you know, people think that, you know what, my parents will not be happy if I elope. So therefore, I am not eloping. I am doing the traditional. So it's hard to find the people who are willing to think a little bit outside the box still.
Yeah. And you are specifically wanting to work with Swedish people.
I work with all kinds of people. I mean, I have worked with both Americans or even people from Singapore and Taiwan and elsewhere as well. But I do find it's a little bit of a challenge for me to try to find clients in Sweden as well.
Yeah. I think that a lot of Norwegian elopement photographers can relate to that. And I'm sure in other countries in Europe as well, because eloping isn't that big of a deal here as it is in the US. In the US, that's like more of a normal thing, that when you decide to elope, you want to make more of a deal out of it. Because if someone were to elope in Norway, it's more like going down to City Hall and just tying the knot, basically, and doing the paperwork, and that's it.
Exactly. Like paperwork and the ceremony for 3 minutes, and that's it. And I'm like, why are you settling? I would never. Oh.
But I think part of the problem is that they don't know that there is another option out there. Because when I have talked about elopements to my friends, they're like, what? That's possible? We can do that? Because they don't know. So I think that's something that's going to help in the time to come. I think things usually start in the US and then the trends come to Europe later on when it comes to things like that. So I think when we become more used to talking about it and people realize that that is possible, then more people will do it and then more people will do it. But there is that time where we have to get that ball rolling before we get there.
I totally agree. And I think actually people are becoming more aware. It's just that it's a little bit slow, the progress. So, but yeah, I agree with you. I actually think the trends, if you look forward a few years ahead, I think eloping and more personalized weddings are becoming a trend, mm-hmm. even bigger trend, sort of. Maybe a polarization, because I think the luxury weddings will be even more luxurious.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a bigger range of the different kinds of weddings, because a lot of people now think like there's one way of doing it and that's the way we have to do it. But we're going to be more individualized in the future and dare to do things on our own. And I think that has a lot to do with photographers and the way that we talk about things, because we are kind of allowing couples to do things their way, which is really nice.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think there's just as many kinds of way of eloping as there is couples who are planning. So you can do it either way.
Yeah, I agree with that. Another thing that you've mentioned to me as being a challenge for you is imposter syndrome. So how does that feel like for you?
Yeah, like I said, I started a few years ago and things have gone pretty quick. So of course, and you know, seeing Instagram and social media and people are really good at what they do, it's hard not to be affected. So sometimes I do feel like I have imposter syndrome and I feel like I'm not enough, or that people are figuring out that I'm not for real, sort of. Yeah, that is a challenge. And I think everyone who's creative is battling that. But I try to not let my fears get in the way. So I'm just trying to find my fighting spirit. I can be scared. I can be afraid. I feel feeling very small, but still doing the things I want to do and still working towards goals.
Yeah, because I think that the same as you, that we're all kind of struggling and thinking like, are we enough? Am I good enough? Can I do this? And the solution. The key is to just do it anyway and not let that stop you, because if not, the imposter syndrome will win.
Totally. And I, like I said, it also helps for me when I think that like every photographer I see on Instagram is actually having this issue, because I know I'm not the only one. It's just how hard you want to push yourself while being a little bit afraid, or much afraid, or just feeling small and still doing it.
And yeah, as you say, it does help to look at photographers who you admire that you think like, oh, they have it all together. And then you can know that they are struggling with the same things as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. I've asked those kind of polls on Instagram where I ask like, what's holding you back? Why aren't you doing the thing that you want to? Why aren't you going all in as a photographer? Like different kind of questions like that. And the answer that most people reply to, especially women, is I don't believe in myself. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I'm enough. And it's so sad because I can see who replies to those polls. And not once have I thought like, yeah, I can understand that. You are not good enough. It's never been like that. It's always like, what? How can they think that? They're so good.
Yeah, of course. And everyone is unique. I mean, people say you have such a great camera. And I'm like, yeah, but what I really have is my eyes.
Yeah.
Everyone has my eyes, right? We all see differently. So cameras are good, but my eyes are even better, right?
Yeah. And your imagination and the way you talk to people. I mean, there's so much to it. And I think it's important to note that. And that is one of the reasons why I think it's a good idea to become really clear on what you want to do. I know that you really want to do elopements, and that's the thing that's really lighting your fire. And when you know that that's what you want to do, then it's a lot easier for you to communicate to those people that you know you want to work with. Because yeah, you can take pictures of anything and you're probably going to do a really good job, but there's so much more to it than just taking photos, because you have to talk to people in different ways. You have to talk to different kinds of clients in different ways. You would talk to a commercial client completely different than you would a newborn mom, like the mom of a newborn, or the way you would talk to a couple who just got married or is just about to get married. It's completely different. So there's so much more to it than just photos and camera settings or the technical aspect of it.
No, I totally agree.
Yeah.
The adventure and the experience for them is so much bigger for me, at least. Yeah, we can be spontaneous together and find the spots good for them. That's the best part of the day, I think, because then it's something unique specifically for them. So yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I can tell that you really like it. And do you think that's why you decided to take that step of leaving your job and go all in with your photography business?
To be honest, it was a matter of not hitting the wall, because I was working so hard and having a toddler and almost a teenager as well. My daughter is, the oldest one is 14. She was a tweenie then. But yeah, it was hard. And my husband was like, okay, when do I see you next time? Because I was constantly working. I remember breastfeeding in the bed and editing on my laptop at the same time. And that was normal for me. I don't even know how I did that, but I did. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that kind of stress when you have a lot going on, which a lot of photographers do, especially when they're in that transition period of, okay, so I'm doing really well and I'm getting ready to quit my job, but I'm still working full-time or part-time in my job and I have little kids at home. Like there's so much going on. I think that period is something that you can do for a while and then you can't keep doing it because it's going to ruin you or other aspects of your life.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you feel? Were you like, there's no doubt this is what I'm doing? Or did you have some hesitations about quitting your job?
Not quitting my job. I was really over it. I felt like, you know what? Okay, there's a pandemic. Maybe I should feel guilty for leaving, but I'm not. I felt like, you know what? Then by then I'd been working like 12 years as a pediatric nurse. I felt like I'd done my part. Now it's time for me to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it wouldn't have been possible if my husband wouldn't have been, you know, fully supported 100%. Because the first year, like I said, I didn't take any salary, nothing. So yeah, that's also one of the most important aspects, I think, to have the full support system at home.
Yeah. And you actually mentioned something else that I think is important to note. You said that you didn't have any salary for the first year. And I think just being aware of the fact that when you are deciding to have a business, there are going to be a lot of expenses and there is going to be a period of time where you're just building the business. And it's important to allow yourself to kind of invest in that fully with your time and your energy. And you're not going to be abnormal if you're not making a lot of money in that period. And you're probably going to set yourself up for doing even better if you have a time where you go all in. And on the other side of that, you're going to be so much better off rather than just doing it too slowly and struggling for a really long amount of time. Just struggle a lot for a shorter amount of time instead might be better.
Yeah, definitely. There's so much to invest when you start up. So much, you know, backup and backup cameras, backup for the files. There's so many things that you actually need. So be prepared.
Yeah, definitely. So what's next for you? What are your plans for the years to come?
To be honest, I haven't started planning yet because I'm still in the cave of editing the weddings from this season. To be honest, this year has been totally crazy for me. It's been my best season so far. So it's really good. I'm very happy about that. And I've had a number of elopements and a number of destination weddings as well. So I'm pretty happy with that. But to be honest, I really want to target the clients that are, you know, interested in my services and the things I offer and people who value what I can bring to the table, sort of. So that's something I'm going to be working on quite a lot when I'm done with the editing cave.
Yeah, because that's a good thing to do in like the down season, because there is going to be fewer weddings probably in the next few months for you, because that's how it is for most of us anyway. And to spend that time wisely and to get really clear on what we want. And if you know the kinds of clients that you want to work with, then you are a big step further along on that journey. So do you want to talk about that person?
Yeah, I can do that. That person is... it could be a girl or a boy or both. But yeah, so someone who's actually a little bit more into experiencing things, a little bit more adventurous, a little bit of a rebel, sort of. Maybe not so extrovert necessarily, but enjoys the outdoors and, you know, maybe has a dog to be able to go out a bit and loves traveling and exploring things. Yeah. Someone like that, I think.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
And of course, there's a lot of people out there who are like that. So, yeah.
Have you thought about where or how you're going to reach those people that you want to work with?
Well, so far, I'm doing quite a lot on Instagram as I started over with my account. So, yeah, I'm following hashtags that are relevant for that person. Mm-hmm. And I try to find them both in Swedish hashtags and English hashtags, as I know I have clients from abroad as well. Yeah, and my website is also something that I'm constantly working on and will need to update soon as well. I haven't in a long time, so I need to update photos and SEO and so on.
Yeah, because your website can do so much for you.
I think so too. Of course it can. And it does, but I need to keep up, you know, because my portfolio is changing, and also blogging. I was really good last year. I blogged once a week the entire year. I was so good at it. I was so upset with it because it was so hard, but I did it. And this year I have barely done anything in the blog. So it's time to get started with that as well.
Yeah. Because if you're good at regularly updating your website, that can do so much for you. But if you forget about it, it's going to be more of a challenge. So it really depends. What about when it comes to your pricing? Do you know, like, oh, this is what I need to charge to get the kind of income that I want? Or are you kind of just gambling and seeing what happens?
I'm gambling. And I know it's not that's not the way to do it. I know. Oh, I'm so bad at that.
So why? Can I ask you why? Why have you decided to gamble instead of figuring it out?
I'm not as bold. I think I am looking a little bit too much on the pricing that other photographers in my area are taking, and it's hard. I know I'm still maybe not at the top of the prices that I know photographers take here, but still, I'm not low not anywhere near low. So I think I'm all right, but I haven't done the math. No, I have not.
Okay, yeah, because that's something that I see so often is I talk to photographers and they're like, my pricing is pretty good because I based it on this person over there that I think we are kind of at the same like skill level and our photos are kind of the same. So I think that this is where my pricing should be. But you don't know anything about that other person and how they've figured out their pricing. You don't know if they're getting booked. You don't know if what you need to make a living or to have the life that you want to have. And you could end up having a lot of clients paying you and you could be building this amazing brand. And then you might realize that, okay, I'm not making anywhere near the amount that I thought I was, because that is what happens. And I can say that because that's what happened to me. I was looking at other people and thinking like, oh, I'm not as good as them. So I'm going to have these prices here. And this is how much I can do. This is the amount of work I'm getting. And then at the end of the year, I added it all up. And then I figured out I was losing money. So in reality, I was paying money to get to photograph other people's weddings, which I'm not saying that you or anyone else is at that level where it's going that bad. But I see so often that people think that they're making a decent amount of money. And then it turns out that, oh, actually, I forgot to think about pension. I forgot to think about insurance. I forgot to think about, you know, any kind of future what ifs that I need a new camera every once in a while. I'm going to need to fix to get a laptop. I'm going to need this and that. And then in the long run, it might not be as good as you're hoping for. And then you're going to have to start over. You're going to have to start over with your branding and everything.
Ingvild, you found my weak spot. Oh, this is so hard. Yeah, I had to get a new Mac PC. And now salary is gone.
Yeah,
no, it's so true. It's so true. I know it.
Yeah. And this is something that I'm really passionate about because I've been there myself and I know how easy it is to fall into that trap of thinking like, ooh, they're paying me this much money. Now I feel rich because the money that we're getting from our clients, it's so much more than we used to get when we had a normal job. That if you were used to getting, say you were getting 2,000 every day you went to work for a full day of work, and then suddenly someone's paying you 10 maybe for a couple of hours. And it's like, yes, I'm making so much money. But then there's so much more behind those 2 hours of photography. And there's so many expenses. And it's not enough that you get paid for 5 months during the summer when you have a lot of jobs. You need to get paid every month of the year because you have bills to pay every month. Sometimes you want to go out and hang out with your friends. Sometimes you want to get a haircut. Sometimes you want to have takeaway or go on vacation, and you need to have money for that as well.
Exactly. No, and that's really a struggle, I think, because like I said, I'm not low at all in the area I'm in, and I'm in Stockholm. So there's a lot of photographers at both in the higher end and also in the lower range. So, but to be honest, it's really hard because we're not even close to where people from the States are paying for photography. It's hard. People are not paying so much in Sweden for a wedding photographer.
Yeah, I understand that thinking, but I would like to challenge it if I can.
Yeah, please do. I just updated my prices, to be honest, on my website. Oh, Lord.
Come say hi over on Instagram. You'll find me at Ingvild Kolmes. I just love getting messages to say that you're listening. And if you tell me what you want more of, it might just happen. Also, please leave a review. It means so much and it also helps others find the show. Okay, so when we photographers say no one will pay for that, that is based on our feelings. It's not based on any kind of data. It's just we feel that no one will pay that. Because I've heard that so many times that, for example, in some of the most popular areas in Lofoten, people come from all over the world to get to photograph people for free. And photographers in Norway say it's not possible to do weddings there and get paid for it. It's not possible. But it is possible. But we tend, because I've photographed people in the most popular places in Norway without having a lot or any experience from those places before, just because I said I am photographing there and I have gotten paid probably twice as what these other photographers are saying that it's not possible to get paid. So it is possible, But what we tend to do, photographers collectively as a group, we tend to think it's not possible. So we decide for our clients that they're not going to want to pay, and we keep our prices low. Where my friends who have jobs go to their boss and they say, hey, I've done a really good job, I want to have a raise. We say, oh, but I really love what I'm doing, so I can't charge for it. But that's not how it works. You can do work that you love doing and you can get paid for it. It's possible. It happens all the time, but it starts with you because you need to dare it. And there are two areas where I see that photographers in general, they look too much at each other. And one is pricing, because photographers in general, they don't work out their pricing. They just charge something. And then we look at each other. I'm in the same way. I did the same thing. I used to do the same thing. And then we look at each other and then we base our prices on them and we think we're good. The other one is our websites, because we look at other photographers' pretty websites and we think, ooh, I want that one as well. And then we end up with a website that isn't really working the way it should. So those two areas are places where I see so many photographers looking at each other, thinking that this looks good, feels good, sounds good, and then it's not working. So that's why I'm always like challenging photographers to figure out their pricing and make sure that they have a website that is working for them and not just looking pretty.
True. No, I totally hear what you're saying. I need to do the math. I've heard it before. I need to do it. No, I really know I need to do it.
Yeah, it's not a fun thing, but it is one of those things that when you do it, when you set aside the time to do it, when you learn how to do it, or when you invest in figuring out from others help in how to do it, that's the thing that's going to make you more money in the long run. Because right here and now, it's going to take time for you. But if it takes you, say it takes you a week to calculate your pricing, to figure everything out, like, okay, I've created my packages. Now I know I'm profitable. Now I know I've set myself up to have the life that I want to have, then all your future bookings are going to be based on those prices. So that if you charge 10, 20, 50, 100% more than what you do today, it's going to be worth it at a matter of time. It just depends on how many bookings you have and such, on how long it's going to take you. But those are the kinds of investments that are always going to pay off for you to do.
True. So how do you start like doing
the pricing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the first thing you want to figure out is what are all your expenses? I would actually separate it. I would figure out with your life, like how much is your living expenses? How much do you want to make every single month? And that is completely individual. No one else but you can figure that out. And you might want to consider like all the what ifs. Like what if suddenly I get divorced? What if really depressing stuff? Like, what if I get divorced? What if my husband dies? What if we have another child that I suddenly have to take care of? Like all the what ifs, make sure that you are considering some of that as well. And then all the normal stuff, all your expenses, all your day-to-day stuff. Some people also do it like really plainly. Like I used to make 30,000 in my normal job. That's what I want to make sure that I'm making in my photography job. So there are two different ways of doing that. So that's the first step. And then you want to figure out all your business expenses, every single little thing that you're paying for, and also everything that you have to calculate for in the future. If you just bought a new camera today, then it's easy to think, oh, I don't need to worry about that because I already have a camera. But your camera will break. At some point, you're gonna either want to have a new one or need to have a new one. And same with your lenses and your computer, all of that stuff. So even though it might not be an expense today, it will be an expense at some point. So you need to calculate for that. So if you say that, okay, so every 3 years, I need to calculate to buy a new camera. So you don't need to have like the full price every single year, but just divide a new camera by three, for example, and then you'll have a rough guideline. And if you don't need to buy a camera, then you have more money in your expense account, basically.
Yeah, true.
So it's not like you're losing out on that money. You're just calculating for that to happen. So all your expenses, all future expenses, and you have to think about things like your pension, because at some point, you're not going to want to or be in a position to keep photographing. So you want to have savings accounts, you want to have insurance, all those future things that is a good idea to think about. And of course, also taxes and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And once you know how much you want to make and once you know how much your expenses are, you need to think about how much do you want to work? Because this is your business. this is something that you have created so that you can have the life that you want. So do you want to work and do you want to shoot a wedding every week? Do you want to shoot a wedding every 3 months? How much do you want to work? And you should probably also think about what's realistic for you. Like not in just in terms of your work capacity, but is it likely that you can book 3 weddings every single week? Or is that unlikely? So you have to think about that as well. So once you know your expenses and once you know how much you want to make, you can divide that by the amount of shoots or weddings that you want to do. And then you have a rough idea of an average that you need to charge. And once you know that average, then you can start building your packages up around that number.
Wow. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So it is a lot of work and you have to think about it, but it's going to be worth it in the end because then you'll be left with your numbers. And if you realize like, oh, because this is what happens to pretty much every single one I've done this with, because I have a spreadsheet and we work through it and we go through all the steps. And then at the end, they're like, ooh, that's double what I'm charging today. Or this is like a lot more. They're all like taken aback and a little bit surprised on how much they need to make. But that does not mean that, oh, now you need to double your pricing just because of the numbers coming out double. It means that you need to just build your packages in a strategic way that allows you to get that number. So maybe that means that you have to get rid of your smallest package. Maybe that means that you need to include less in something or more in something. There's so many ways of doing it. And yeah, you have to think about who your dream client is just to build the thing that they are most looking for.
True. No, that's definitely something that I want to do because, like you said, it's much better to know that each time you take a job, you're starting to work, you know, that's going to be a profit.
Yeah.
Because it is a business. It's not just for fun.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah, it is a business. And it's important to take it seriously because you're the one that's going to struggle if it's not right, like if something is missing. And once you know, say that you know roughly that if you take on a shoot, less than half of that is going to end up in your pocket because you have taxes and you have expenses. So say that for if you charge 10,000, you're going to be left with maybe 4.
Yeah.
So if you know that number and if someone is reaching out to you and they're saying like, oh, my budget is this, then you can say or think to yourself like, oh, that is this amount of work. Is it going to be worth that for me? Probably not. Then it's easier for you to say no. And it's also easier for you to stand your ground because that is something that we hear so often, like, oh, that's really expensive. And then we feel like, oh, I'm charging way too much. I'm not good enough. And then if you know, this is what I need to make to have my normal living standard. I don't have a big lavish life and I don't have a swimming pool in my garden, which one of my clients accused me of having. That's a bad thing. I'm allowed to have a swimming pool if I want to, but I don't.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But the point is that if you know that this is the amount of money I need, if I charge less than this, I will either be losing money or I won't actually get a paycheck this month. Then it's easier for you to stand your ground and say, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do about it. This is what it costs. And of course, you can charge however much you want and you can have a million swimming pools. But most photographers are not at that point. Most photographers are at the point of feeling bad because they feel like what they're charging is too much. And for most people, that is not the case. So I'm just saying that for you to have a way of allowing it to yourself that I'm not charging too much. I'm charging what I need to.
True. Okay, so challenge accepted, right?
Good. Yes.
Yes, but I need to edit my weddings first of all, and then
yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
But you can get back to me if you want to.
Okay.
Or I'll let you know.
Yeah. No, but I'm just saying that because I know that a lot of people who's listening are at the same place where it's hard to almost accept that that is the amount of money they need to charge. And I think a little bit of guilt as well, like, oh, I'm charging this much money and I'm doing a job that I like. I'm enjoying my work and I shouldn't be allowed to get paid for it. And I think the reason is that we hear that so often from people in our lives. Many of us hear that. If I've told someone, oh, I want to be a photographer, it's like, oh, that's not possible to make a living from. Or, oh, no wonder that you're not getting paid so much because you're just doing your hobby. And it's like, that's not really the case. We are allowed to have work that we enjoy doing. And I think our clients would appreciate more, or any clients of any profession would enjoy having someone do work for them that they actually enjoy rather than complain about it. It's not a reason for not paying.
Yeah, I got a question once, you know, like, so is photography the only thing you do? Like, no, I do website. I'm a web designer. I'm a marketing expert. I'm an SEO expert. I'm an editing expert. What else do you want? You know, I'm like, ah, it's so crazy.
It is, yeah.
But I know they don't know. That's their problem.
It is. And it's also our problem because we need to stand our ground. We need to let people know. I don't really agree when photographers post on Instagram, for example, like, oh, this is what you're paying for. And then they list out all their equipment and all their stuff because it's not really relevant to our clients. Our clients need to know why they should care. So they need to know that if they're paying you this much, then they are getting a wonderful experience. They're getting memories for life. They're getting to not have to deal with the stress of planning their elopement. That's what they need to know. Because if you think about it, which other professions would do that?
True.
So if you think about your hair salon, it's not like they post on Instagram like, oh, look at this wonderful new chair we bought. They don't do that. Or these scissors are the best. I can't believe that. No one cares. We just want to know that if we go to you, then we're going to sit there, we can relax, and when we leave, we're going to feel amazing. That's what we need to tell our clients as well. And if your focus is there, then you're going to do a lot better than if you focus on the back end stuff.
And if you actually love what you do, it's going to be a great result. I'm pretty sure of it. But do you think we, and the photographers, all our colleagues, are good at supporting each other when it comes to pricing?
No. I unfortunately think it's often the other way around. I think that so many are like, and this is the reason why I underpriced in the beginning. I was so worried what other photographers would say if I charge too much because I was new. So I was like, oh, what are they going to think if I charge this much? They're going to think like, who does she think she is? But it also goes the other way. If someone is pricing too little, they are going to be kind of left out in the cold because no one wants to refer a client to someone who's charging way too little because that's going to undermine the whole industry. So it does feel like you have to be at that correct middle level that everyone in Norway is, at least. I'm not sure how it is in Sweden.
Same here. We have this expression called lagom. It is somewhere in between, not too much, not too little, somewhere in between. And that's like, oh, the worst.
It is.
Because people are really, really upset when people charge too little. But I'm sure they talk about people behind their backs if they charge too much.
Yeah. And that's something that I'm very passionate about getting rid of because we all have different clients. My client would be willing to pay this much and then your client would be willing to pay that much. So we need to base our pricing on our expenses and all that, of course, but also on who our client is because that would depend. And I think it's such a shame when I hear someone talking about someone else and like, how dare they charge so much? So what I've done, I have increased my pricing a lot. Because I know that I don't really want to do weddings anymore. So if it says on my website that I'm charging that much, doesn't mean I have to take on many weddings, but maybe it can inspire someone else to do the same. And I think it's worked because I've heard from other photographers that they have raised their pricing. And I think it can create a nice effect where we dare to charge our own pricing without worrying too much about someone else. But it is a shame because it's no one's business what you decide to charge. And I don't understand why it's worth complaining about.
No. I totally agree. If someone says to me, because I think actually we need to start talking very openly about pricing, because that's the only way we're going to change the industry. So keep talking. And if I had a colleague that made a lot of money, I would be thrilled. I think it's great because that means it works, even in Sweden, that there are some people interested in actually putting that amount of money into their wedding. So I'm just happy, but that's also something that made me, you know, not go that way because, yeah, you're afraid of what other photographers will think.
Mm-hmm. But you're not in business for them. You're in business for yourself.
And very true.
Yeah. And I think that's something that we can learn from the US because in the US, they have prices that go from like for a wedding photographer, you can probably get one for free or $100 or you can pay like 200, or that's 20 or $30,000 for a photographer. You can pay anywhere in that range. And in Norway, I'm sure Sweden is kind of the same. In Norway, if you want to have a beginner photographer, you pay maybe less than 20,000 kroner, which would be like $2,000. If you want to have a really good one, then maybe you pay upwards to $4,000 or 40,000 kroner. And above that, there's no one. Who would you be to dare to charge that much? And to be honest, our pricing probably should be over that because of the amount of work it is. And since we're on the topic of pricing, I can say that recently I've been getting questions from people saying like, oh, but I don't really want to do weddings. I want to do portraits, but I'm not sure if it's possible to make a living from doing just that. And I had the same thought when I was starting out, like weddings, you charge so much, that must be a lot easier to make a living from. But I've come to find that it's probably the other way around, because for weddings, the workload is insane. There's so much work and we end up charging way too little for it. But for portraits, it's so much less work and you can charge a lot because there's so many things you can do with your client. You can sell a lot more. You can sell more files or more products. But with weddings, you can't get rid of that workload of how many meetings and emails, and there's so much.
No, and people don't realize that, you know, even the emailing is actually work. People are like, why are you charging so much in a booking fee? And I'm like, you know what? Right now I'm working.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, you're not my friend. You're.
Yeah. And editing as well. Editing a whole wedding or an elopement gallery, that is a lot of work compared to like the 40 photos you might include in a portrait session.
True. It's a lot of work. So we need to inform people, I think, and not be so afraid of talking about pricing with our colleagues.
Yeah. I don't know how it is in Sweden, but in Norway, it's required by law to have your pricing, your full pricing on your website.
We don't have that in Sweden. It's not by law. So there's a lot of people who say, okay, the fee starts at, and that's it. And then they have to, you know, send an inquiry to get full access.
Yeah.
I have my pricing on my website in two places. So it's easy to find. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are different strategies in terms of like, what's the best way to go about it?
Yeah, I know.
But I think it's kind of nice now that it's by law, because then everyone has to have them up. But I see some people don't. And it's a bit like, I'm sure that that is either because they're ignorant and they don't know it, but it could more likely be because they are hiding and they don't want people to know how little they're charging, because it's always too little. I don't think a lot of people in Norway are charging too much. I don't really even think that's possible. That would be if someone was promising something that they couldn't do, because you are allowed to charge however much you want to. You're allowed to make money. It's not a bad thing to make money. But we think it is. We think it is. I'm sure that a lot of people who's listening right now is thinking it's bad to make money, and it's not. You're allowed to make money. You're allowed to charge a lot.
No, and to be honest, I would love to see more photographers, you know, get more money from the work they do. I'm not intimidated by that. I think it's actually something really, really good.
It is.
That would inspire me to dare to raise my pricing even more than I have. Because I know there's someone who's going to pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
Just an example.
Yeah, I think if someone were to kind of take that first step, it will make it easier to be the one that follows. But someone has to be the one to take the first step as well. And that can be scary. But I think it's possible, or I know it's possible, but it doesn't make it easy. But talking about it is a good first step.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. That's the first step. You've inspired me to do so, to put down all the expenses and all the stuff.
And the thing that happens if you charge more and you get paid more, then you can do a lot more. You can do better things. You can get to work with more of the clients that you want to. Because imagine if you charge too little, how annoyed you get when someone is, oh, they only chose to buy one picture. And that's left me to do a lot of work and I get nothing in return. But if you dare to charge what you need to or want to, then you don't have that stress. And you're probably in a position where you can hire other people and you can pay more for those services. So it's a bit like everyone wins if you just dare to do it.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. But yeah, having someone to do some of the stuff that you do behind the scenes with the, like I said, the website, the Instagram, all that, that would be really good.
Yeah. And imagine being able to pay for support in your business. And I mean, like the emotional support, the business support. And I have had a mentor or a coach for years. I've always invested in that. And that has been something that's always helped me, because it kind of gives me that boost to do the thing that I thought I couldn't. So that is also something that if you're daring to charge, it goes kind of both ways, because what comes first? Is it that you're hiring someone to help you, or is it that you're charging enough money so that you can? But sometimes you just have to take that step and do that so that you can get further. Because I think we can all do more, and we all have more in us than we might realize.
Yeah, true. No, I agree with you. And surrounding yourself with people who actually believe in you, and hearing all that everything is possible, blah, 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 and all that good stuff that you want to hear is a really positive thing, because being a photographer full time is also quite silent and alone. And also you need to surround yourself with your tribe, with the people who believe in you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And those are the people who will cheer you on when you decide to increase your prices, who will say like, yes, good for you, you deserve it, instead of being like, are you sure? What if you don't get booked?
I know.
Yeah, because we usually have enough of that going on in our own heads, thinking like, I'm not sure if I can do it. I don't think this is a good idea. I don't know what to do. So we don't need that from someone else.
Definitely not. I mean, that cup is full already.
Yeah. Okay, so now we talked a lot about pricing, and we've talked about how you got started and everything. But what do you think other photographers can learn from your journey and the way you've done things?
Well, to be honest, I think there has been quite a number of things I've done the past years. So I entered competitions in photography quite often and other things. And so I think it's important that you try to not lose your fear, because fear is going to be there no matter what, I think. But do it anyway, you know, to try to not be afraid of doing that you won't do it. Don't let your fear stop you, instead of actually doing the things you want to try out. And what if you fail? I mean, photography, like a competition, I know photography is in the eye of the beholder quite a lot. So you have no idea who else has entered a competition. You have no idea about the judges. But I think I learn a lot from that, and how to get better at what I'm doing. It is a challenge, and I think you should try to stay bold and big with your dreams, and just don't think too much. Just do. That's something I think I want to give to the listeners. Yeah, just do, and don't think too much about others. People are going to have ideas, thoughts about you no matter what you do. So yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah, it's out of your control what someone might think of you. So you might as well just do what you want to anyway.
I mean, if you start saying that you're not enough, that you can't enter a competition, because who am I to think that, you know, if you don't, you'll never know. Then the question is no, for sure. But what if you actually enter and you get really high scores? I got a silver medal in the Swedish Championship of Photography in the wedding category. I had no idea that was going to happen, but it did.
And it would not have happened if you hadn't submitted your photos.
For sure. Yeah. So I think no matter if you want to go full time, or if you want to start with other kinds of photography, or start giving out web courses or something else, just go ahead, try it on. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, that's a great thing to end this with. Like, just do the thing, because what's the worst thing that's going to happen?
Do you.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Evelyn. This has been lovely. Can't believe it's been this long since we talked last.
No, right, the same. I can do this often, talk to
you.
Yeah,
I know. It's fun.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. My pleasure. Thanks for listening to Sustainable Photography. Head over to Instagram at Ingvild Kolnes to tell me what you want future episodes to be all about. Check out the show notes over at ingvildkolnes.com/podcast. You can learn more about the Sustainable Photography Program and sign up for the waitlist there. To get more of this content, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and leave a review. Your support makes all the difference. Talk soon.